This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Do you want to become a certified doula?
I do,
actually.
Because I
can advise you on them.
So
by the way, I think you'd be great at that.
Wouldn't that be amazing? Oh, come on already. Come on already. Push.
You'd be like, what are you wearing?
What are you doing? Come push already, for God's sake.
By the way, this is disgusting.
And maybe a little Brazilian while we're here. You know, maybe just a little Brazilian.
Can we just bring it in between
can
the contractions? Can we bring in the beauty team?
This is Hello Isaac, my podcast about the idea of success and how failure affects it. I'm Isaac Mizrahi, and in this episode, I talk to actor, writer, producer, and director Ashley Williams.
Hello Isaac, it's Ashley Williams. I am going to come and be on your show. I'm going to try not to fangirl too much because I think I've seen Unzipped 147 times. Anyway, I love you. I hope I don't talk too much. Or maybe I want to talk too much. I don't know. I'll see you soon.
As for guests that I am meeting for the first time, this is very, very exciting to me because I am a big fan of Ashley Williams, mostly because, well, I love everything she's ever done, and I love the Hallmark Channel, and I love her as a director, and I love her as a movie star. I think she's so pretty and funny. But on top of everything else, she's really a multi-hyphenate. You know, if you look into her, you will find that she has written articles that advocate for women. She's a dog lover. She's a dog rescue advocate, etc. And so I feel like from one multi-hyphenate to another, I think we have a lot to talk about. So let's waste not another second. Here we go. Ashley Williams, first of all, you're so pretty. You're so much prettier. You have really good skin. What is so funny? How pretty?
No, what's funny to me is, because I do get this a lot, I get you're so much prettier in person. I get, you're so much prettier. I get, you're so much tinier in person. I get that a lot. But thank you. I mean, you know, it's just my old face. I don't know.
It's so fresh. And you have such gorgeous teeth and such gorgeous eyebrows. And it's all, it's amazing.
Thank you. I wore braces for 11 years.
Lucky
so
you.
They better look amazing.
You see, guess what? I didn't wear braces. My sister had braces and she had her nose fixed. So I don't know why they just stopped with my sister. You know,
they probably ran out of money at that point.
Exactly.
and we're done.
So wait, can we talk a little bit about your history? Where are you from originally? I think you're from the East Coast.
Yeah, I was born in Yonkers and we lived right on the border of Bronxville and Yonkers. So my mother called it Bronkers. Mm-hmm. And my parents were writers. My dad was a journalist, went to Columbia Journalism School. And then worked at Newsday. And my mother, same deal, worked at Newsday as well. And they fell in love. And then they had my older sister. And my older sister is She's drop dead gorgeous.
We're going to talk about that in a second.
Gorgeous. But... Okay. Well, like the kind of gorgeous where it's like stop her on the street.
All right. And... Okay.
Well, but this was the thing was the little
Kimberly
sister.
Kimberly Paisley Williams. But anyway, yeah,
yes,
go on.
Kimberly Williams Paisley. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so people would be like, is she a model? And my mom would be like, well, she's available. You know, we're open. And then the little sister would come peeking out from behind with like gnarled up teeth and be like, hi, what about me? when we were in Yonkers, we lived right next door to a soap opera star, and we were enamored. I mean, this woman, first of all, she has an Emmy. Her name is Anna Holbrook. She's still a very close friend, but she was so inspiring because she was a working actress, you know? So she actually took some pictures of my older sister and brought them into her own agency and said, do you want to rep this girl? They said, sure. And then she auditioned for a U.S. dairy commercial in the 80s, and she booked it.
Of course she
made,
did.
She made something like $50,000 in one day.
And my mother,
yeah. I mean, this was the 80s when you could make money. You know,
on commercials.
On anything. Yeah. Now it's sort of all over for
it's
all
impossible.
Of us.
It's impossible. Yeah.
Exactly. But my mother was like, holy crap, that's your college. You're all doing this.
Unbelievable.
So, unreal. So Anna Holbrook, the soap star, took photos of all of us. We all got agents and we all started working in commercials. And honestly, it was kind of through Anna and the soap world in Manhattan, because then I was on a soap opera and my brother and I were doing print and, you know, but like we were 10 in the, you know, in the early 90s. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was such a good time in New York, as you know.
It was a very, very good time. But the first thing I want to know is like, what appealed to you? Like what in you just went like, oh, that's it?
I mean, listen, coming from the child of two writers, you know, we were like, my dad talks about like he was selling Dennis the Menace cartoons for a little while for $10 a pop, you know, like at one point we were like boiling soup bones and that was dinner, you know, it was an intense time. And then honestly, it was this woman that we lived next door to who made a career out of something that just seemed so wonderfully creative.
Yeah,
exactly. And also she was a normal person. So it was the idea that you could make a life out of being creative and grounded and normal, and education was first. And, you know, there was never a question with her, like, you must go to college. The entire reason to be an actor is to get yourself through college. You know, that's the only path.
Wow. For some, it's like sports. Like they get themselves through college, like playing football. You did it by playing, you know, 100%. Blanche Dubois or something. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, or like the soap version of Blanche Dubois, which is
close, darling.
Yeah,
very close.
You know what?
You said this already. You came to almost complete halt twice in this interview. Once when you said the word working actor, right? And then the other time when you said she's just a person, right? So like, I think of you as such a huge star. Like you can't walk into a restaurant without six people going, oh my God, can I have your autograph? Probably.
I'm dying right now. We have to stop for a second and I have to tell you that I'm a monster fan of yours.
Oh, so, stop already.
No. Like when I saw Unzipped, I fell on the floor and died. I watched that movie 10 times in a row.
This is very
exciting. What year did it come out?
95, 96, something
like that. So 1995, I am 15 years old.
Wow.
And I became fixated. There were these moments that carried for me from that movie. I only wore my brother's clothes growing up. That was an older brother. Well, I'll show you a picture too. It wasn't cute. I had a bowl cut, you know, gangly teeth. And
I love
these
a bowl cut,
I'll send you some.
I'm picturing Marlena Dietrich in men's clothes, but you're talking about like, you know, flip-flops and board shorts. Is that what you mean?
100%.
Okay.
It wasn't cute at the time. And I didn't understand fashion. I wore like black turtlenecks and sweatpants in high school. But your documentary opened my eyes. I remember there's a couple moments that were ingrained in me. And one of them is like, you know, she puts on this fur thing with just like bra and panties underneath. And she goes to walk the dog.
Right.
It shifted my perspective because fashion always felt like a rich person's game, you know, but what you did there was created opportunities in our normal life for us to express ourselves, walking the frickin' dog. And it shifted everything for me. And keep in mind, I am now not any kind of fashionista icon by any stretch of the imagination, but I love to dress with purpose. And you taught me that.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. But now I have this question for you. Are you a movie star or are you a working actor? No, I mean it. See, you laugh when I say that. And you just started laughing when I said how pretty you are. This is a crazy disconnect, I think. You think of yourself as this kind of working actor, regular person. And like you walk out of your house and people go like, oh my God, that's like Ashley Williams.
Well, people know my face and they don't know where they know me from. That happens every day, several times a day. Okay. And most of the time, I don't want to be like, well, I'm on TV. So I'll be like, did we go to camp together?
Right.
No, I mean, listen, I'm very unemployed right now. the strike was hard. I'm trying to sort of scrape together a life. I mean, my first job was like 1990, you know, like I've been around a long time trying to keep my little ball in the air. You know, I've quit the business 17 times. I've gotten fired by my agents a million times. I at one point made a living as a certified doula. For a couple of years, I attended 52 births as a doula. That was my primary source of income because my agent dropped me and I had nothing.
Yeah. You were birthing children. You were bringing children into the world in like pools of water or something?
Well,
or just
Isaac, I would say the mothers were delivering the children.
Right, the mothers were delivering, but I mean, you were guiding. You were like the Sherpa, the doula. This is unbelievable.
Yeah. And at one point, like I became certified as a dog trainer. You know, I've sort of cobbled together this strange little life. But to your point, one time I was with this woman. It was a very long labor. And I was with her and she didn't want me to touch her, right? Which is, I got that a lot. And I think I was the same way, you know, like definitely like my husband. I was like, get off me when I was in labor. But this woman was like, you know, just don't do anything else when I'm going through a contraction. And I said, okay. So she would have a contraction and she would sort of stop. And then I would stop and sort of like hold space, you know, just quietly, just sort of close my eyes. And I never knew when her contraction was ending. So I'd kind of peek and be like, well, she's still in it, right? So finally she comes out of this contraction. She opens her eyes and she goes, How I Met Your Mother.
that's how she knows you. That is
she
funny.
Looked at me and pointed and goes, that's what it is. And I got so self-conscious because the last thing you want when you're half naked and in the middle of labor is to feel like you're there with some person on TV.
Except, you know, fabulous that you're there with someone. I mean, that is very fortuitous, I think, you know. So how did you get to LA?
Yeah. So, you know, the prescription from all of my fellow soap opera stars, they all said, you must go to college, went to college in Boston, graduated, went to the Williamstown Theater Festival, did a summer there. And then I was understudying Rachel Weisz and Gretchen Mol in an off-Broadway play by Neil LaBute. And Rachel Weisz's father had quadruple bypass surgery and she had to go to London for a couple of weeks and was out of the show. And this was my opportunity.
This is like the movie where they go, hey, kid, you're going in. Yeah,
totally. I mean, it was also, you know, just a couple weeks after 9/11, all of us were running around going, is the world over? What are we even doing? Mm-hmm. And suddenly I'm on stage opposite Paul Rudd and Fred Weller and Gretchen Mol. Who's just incredible. I mean, it was an amazing play.
And a very fine play by Neil LaBute.
Yeah, do you remember that play?
Yes, I saw it.
It was called The Shape of Things.
The Shape of Things, of course, darling.
Yes.
All right, so that happened.
Anyway,
and then
so I did that. And when I went on, my agents, they were like, Ashley Williams is going on for Rachel Weisz in this play. So all these people came to see it. And at the end of that, I guess some people from NBC Warner Brothers came. And when I arrived in LA for pilot season, my agent said, you got to come out. Just come out for 6 weeks. Come for pilot season.
I see.
My sister said I could stay in her basement. And I had my very first audition was for an NBC pilot. And I booked it.
You see?
Booked
this is amazing.
It was insane.
And the pilot didn't get picked up or did it?
It did. It ran for 2 seasons.
Well, come on.
Yeah. We were on like right after Friends, right before Just Shoot Me on Thursday night must see TV. I mean, it was just bananas that I got that job. Yeah.
That is great.
So that sort of got me on my feet in LA and I got my first apartment and that was it.
Wow. Now tell me, going back to like growing up and watching your sister, is there any competition?
You know what? I've tried.
Tell us.
Oh my, no, I swear, my hand to God, this woman is my best friend. I feel bad because in so many ways, like if I could just be her, I would, which is super creepy. But she is my hero. She always has been. She's 7 years older than me. So I was her baby. You know, she dressed me up and she parented me. And still to this day, I do seriously believe she hung the moon. I mean, she is my hero. I would love to be able to compete, but I can't. She's incredible.
She's not in the business as much as you anymore, is she?
Listen, it's all these seasons. So the time that I'm a full-time doula in LA, she's the star of, you know, an ABC show. Right. And we really go up and down together. It's a long career.
And wait, talk about the LA thing. Do you ever get tired of that whole scene? And as an addendum to that question, how important are agents? Because you were talking about getting fired from your agencies. And I know a lot of actors go through that and it feels really scary when they call and fire you. Because I was fired once from an agency too. So
for a minute. Just once.
Well, no, only because you know what? And then I quit an agency once because it was like, have we spoken in a year? No. You know, so bye-bye. But talk about that. How important were the agents in the making of your...
I mean, I got to say, when I was younger, I think agents really ruled this town, you know, and this was early 2000s. And honestly, my agent, his name is Jonathan Blumen. He saw me in a play at Williamstown and said, you know, we're going to do this together. And I needed him so badly. I really relied on him. You know, I remember we would talk at the end of every single day. And I really do sort of treat reps a little bit differently now because, you know, I'm kind of older than they are sometimes. And by the way, Isaac, I do have to tell you that my agents did recently just drop me again. So I'm currently agentless.
Oh, that is hilarious. Well, wait a minute, because you're right. But what do you think runs that town now?
You know, it's a great question. I have the answer that I want to be correct, which is that the good ideas, the good writing, the good talent rises and the rest will follow. That's what I want to say. And what I think is probably the reality, especially like this week and in the last 6 months. Like I remember the day that the SAG strike ended, I remember having this feeling like we're all at the start of a race and the gun just went off and nobody knows where to run. And that's kind of the feeling I still have. Like, what are we doing? What is TV? You know, it's the Suits reboot. So long form cable television is back. And then they only order 10 episodes. It's a really interesting time. And I think get your popcorn. Because I think that what's cool about people like you and me is we get to go, all right, well, we're going to watch. We're going to see what's happening. I'm going to do a podcast. I'm going to write a movie, you know, and we're going to hang out and wait.
And we're going to be doulas to try to raise some money because we can't make money by podcasting and writing screenplays anymore.
Heck yeah, right? Man. Yeah. By the way, do you want to become a certified doula? Because I can advise you on the...
I'm so fascinated.
Great at that.
Wouldn't that be amazing? Oh, come on already. Come on already. Push.
You'd be like, what are you wearing?
What are you doing? Come push. Ready for God's sake.
By the way, this is disgusting.
And maybe a little Brazilian while we're here, you know, maybe just a little Brazilian.
Can we just bring
it
in between the contractions? Can we bring in the beauty team?
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back. Plus, no payments for 90 days. And take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring? but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Is there such a thing now as like making it?
I love this question so much because here's the thing. When I got my first job in LA, everybody was saying, you've made it, you've made it, you've made it. But I was very confused about the TV show I was on. I was very confused about how to please my bosses. I was on a sitcom at the time. So sitcom is confusing medium for me, still is a bit, because it's theater, but there's cameras, right? So there's four cameras running all the time,
right?
Much like on a soap opera, except there's a live audience right behind the cameras. So am I playing for the cameras or am I playing for the live audience? So I was always
very
confused.
Confusing.
I was very confused. So I remember people saying like, oh, you're the it girl. You're the big thing. But I didn't believe in the product I was selling and I didn't really understand the show I was on. So I kept saying, ooh, like, give me 5 years. Is there any way you guys could just not watch the show? I need to figure this out a little bit.
Right.
Give me a couple years and then I'm going to really nail it for you. And it doesn't work like that. So for me, you know, having done this for a million years now, I feel like making it means I can pay my mortgage while being creatively fulfilled. I mean, that is, to me, that is the dream.
Yeah.
You know, I don't need a lot of money. That's what I tell my kids. We don't have too much money. We have just enough.
Just enough.
Sometimes we have a little less, but we don't talk to them.
Stop asking for all that silly stuff. But you know what? It's like you think about that. You think about like how happy you are making ends meet and being a creative, right? And I think that way too. But I have to tell you, now that I'm 60, I can barely get myself to say the words, right?
You're in your 60?
No.
Oh my God.
Wait a second. I am 60, okay? Wait a second. But
you
here's the thing.
So amazing.
But wait, can I just tell you, now I'm thinking like, guess what? In 20 years, I can't do all this. Like, what will happen to me in 20 years? Will I just end up like in a bag on, like with a bunch of paintings that I bought that I could sell on the street
with
my dogs?
Yeah, maybe you'll just run the Isaac Museum. You'll just be at the door of the Isaac Museum selling tickets and you'll be able to give private VIP tours. But your whole life, that, you know, your bandana will be on the wall. This microphone will be in a case.
But wait a second. Do you think this idea of kind of making it now is about a constant like reinvention or something, you know? Whereas like if you're Nicole Kidman, darling, or Meryl Streep or whatever, or somebody like that who is a different generation from you, those people, right, they relied on typecasting a little bit. And they were thrilled that there were more movies for women that they were cast in. You know what I mean? Whereas like you today, like I think that you're this kind of jack of all trades. And I think of successful people as only being out there doing many different things, you know?
You know, this is such an interesting thing. And it's honestly something that I've come up against as I've become what we call a multi-hyphenate. So I've always been an actor. And then when I became a director, immediately everybody was very confused. The first thing I did was I went around to all these different networks and everybody I've ever worked with and said, can you help me out? I need education. I need training in this. And they said, but you're an actor. And I said, yeah, but you know, honestly, there's a lot of crossover here in the skill set. And I'm thinking, I'm, you know, in my 40s, I need to diversify because like this face is not getting any, it's not needing less Botox as the years go, right? So I'm thinking, you know, this is the plan to diversify, right? And immediately people are confused. And I kept saying like, I don't understand why I can't be both. You know, I'm still coming up against it, but I did launch a women's directing program and some of the women are actors turned directors. And they've said in the interview with your executive committee, should I mention the acting that I've done? And part of me wants to say, don't go near it. Just say you've been studying to be a director your entire life, because people get confused, you know?
I know they do, darling. I know. Are you kidding me? It's the curse, kind of. It's like such a curse. And then you're up for some like plum part that you really want. And they go, oh, no. He's a designer. Like you can't, Dedwood can't cast him. But that's a crazy thing. That I think is coming to a very, very like harsh kind of ending. Like that's over now. Yes.
Wait, it is? Yes, it is. Well, I'm seeing it like right now. Like every day I'm seeing it.
Yeah, but wait a second, because we'll just give it a minute. Because are you watching that thing with Jodie Foster on Max?
Oh, True.
True Crime.
True Detective.
Because her co-star, who's amazing, right? And she has this unbelievable body and she has this like sex scene in it. And I'm with my husband and I go, are those her real tattoos? And he goes, oh no, she was a boxer. That's her body. And those are her tattoos. And I was like, she was a boxer. And now she's playing opposite like Jodie Foster, Fiona Shaw, like all these really unbelievable actors. She was a boxer. So darling, hang in there. Okay, no pun intended.
I just wish that I'd been a boxer at some point, because then maybe there would be a future for me.
Right. Like Layla Ali or something. Yeah, exactly.
I could pull that look off.
I would imagine you, darling. I would imagine you. All right, wait a minute. We've been talking about how successful you are. I want to hear about some kind of a setback or a failure that you experienced that helped you or that set you back and you're still getting over. Seriously.
Yeah, I mean, there's been so many. There was a big one, though. There was one big one.
Okay.
And it's interesting. The backstory here is that I, as an actor, you know, every year for pilot season, like, so I did that sitcom when I first got to LA. Mm-hmm. And then every year after that sitcom got canceled, I booked a pilot. We would shoot the pilot. And then in mid-May of that spring, the pilot would not get picked up for 13 years in a row. So I did the lead in 13 different
pilots. Wow, that
is. Every January, February, I'd book one, shoot it. Every May, right around my husband's birthday, the pilot would not get picked up. So, but honestly, it was kind of a good life because I was always available.
It's a good living.
It was fine. Sometimes back in the day, you used to get paid like one episode fee double for the pilot. And then they sort of tossed that. So it was,
I shot a pilot and I got paid a fortune and they gave me money not to take other pilots or something, not to take other jobs.
I didn't get any of that. I think that might be because you're Isaac McBride.
Yeah, darling.
Yeah.
But it didn't get picked up. It was really good. But anyway, go on. So you were a pilot actress.
So I was a pilot actress and then I would do little guest spots and I'd recur on a couple shows, you know, and over the years, you know, I built up this crazy resume, like tons of shows. I've been around so long doing it. Mm-hmm. So then my husband was shooting, my husband's a producer, right?
Yes. We're going to talk about that for a second.
Oh, he's so amazing. But anyway, he was shooting a Netflix movie and I got knocked up. And so I was like 2-3 weeks away from giving birth. My husband was shooting this movie in Hawaii and the movie falls apart, which happens. But I'm in Hawaii with a 2-year-old and 2-3 weeks away from giving birth, right? So I had a whole birth plan in Hawaii, the whole nine yards. And my husband looks at me and he goes, movie's not happening. Whole thing fell apart. Where do you want to have this baby? And I said, get me to LA. At the time, we were actually living in New York. But because of my doula experience, I knew everybody in the birthing world in LA, right?
That is so funny.
Right. So we get on a plane. I walk in the door to this OBGYN who was a friend. And I said, you know, I'm going to give birth in 30 seconds. I need your help. You haven't done any of my care. At this point, I've had like several different OBGYNs. And he shakes my hand. He's like, let's do this. 24 hours later, I give birth. 24 hours later.
So
I'm on his table.
That's amazing.
So I have this baby. He's amazing. He's now 6. And this 2-year-old. And at this point, my husband's movie is on hold. So we've got no prospects. We're living in a friend's rental house in LA. That's like 5 minutes from Cedar Sinai. And my husband comes in, he goes, good news. The movie's back on in Hawaii. We're going back to Hawaii. I said, okay, you know, I'm literally nursing. So 3 days later, we're back on an airplane. So then we're in Hawaii for a couple weeks. And I've got this newborn and my two-year-old. And he says, bad news, movie fell apart again.
this is crazy.
He said, let's go back to New York. And I said, you go to New York. I'm going to go to LA and get a pilot. Because at this point, we needed some cash. So my friend Jessica lets me stay in her basement with my two young children. And I started auditioning for pilots. My husband's trying to get other stuff going. He's not with me. So I start auditioning. It's the height of pilot season. And I'm going on 3 auditions a day. I'm dropping my kids off at daycare in the morning. And I book this pilot. I book this Fox pilot, the lead, right? It's a huge deal. And I just remember like crying with relief. It was like when you got your reviews for your show at the end of Unzipped and you're walking down the street going, I did it, right? So we shoot this pilot. It's the most fun ever. I have a great time. I'm waiting for the pickup and it's my husband's birthday. I'm like, this is never good news. It's never good news. I get the call. They say, we might pick it up, but we're replacing you.
No!
I got fired.
No.
I got fired. And it hurt. When I tell you it hurt, it was probably the most painful thing because I felt like such a hero, you know?
Of course. And also the thing about it that people don't realize about actors and dancers and performers, when someone fires you, when they reject you, they're rejecting like you. They're not rejecting your ability to do math or your ability to sell things. They're rejecting the face and the personality and the good teeth and good Botox, whatever you want to call it. That they are firing like you. You know, talk about
spirit.
That, how that feels, that just...
Oh, it was so brutal. It was so brutal. You know, when I was alone and my kid was just a couple months old and then I had a 2.5-year-old and no prospects. And suddenly the rejection was so real at something that I had done so well so many times prior. Right. But I got to tell you, something amazing happens. Thomas Lennon, who is an amazing comedic actor, called me. He was playing my husband on the show. And he said, you know, I got to tell you something. When they don't know what to do with a show and it's just not working, they replace the wife. He said, I've seen it over and over and over again.
Funny.
He said, I saw your performance. It's great, but something's not working about the show. So, you know, they think it's you, but it's not. There's something not right with the show, right? And it was such a kind, generous thing to say, right?
Yes.
Meanwhile, the girl that replaced me is like amazing. She's a colleague of mine that I've known a million years. I haven't seen her since she replaced me in this, but I have fantasies about like me just throwing my arms around her and saying, can we still be friends? but anyway, so this was about 5 years ago. So the night that the Deadline article came out saying that this girl was replacing me on this show, it was a Friday, by the way. If a story is announced on Deadline on a Friday, it's up all weekend, right?
Of course.
So my girlfriend who worked at ABC, still works at ABC, texted me and she said, vodka or tequila? And I said, tequila. And she said, I'll be there at 7, right? All this time I'm hopping around to different friends' houses, right? I was staying at Jennifer Westfeld's house at the time and with my two children. And so she shows up. Her name is Simran Sethi. We met in a book club 100 years ago, and she's just a true, true, wonderful friend. And she sat me down. She said, okay, I Wikipedia'd you. She said, you've been around forever. You have an unbelievable reputation in this industry. You've done 45 pilots. Everybody loves you. Why are you not directing? And I told her this story, which is the reason why I'm not directing. And the story is, I was on my soap opera. I was on As the World Turns. I was 15. And, you know, it was the most fun, that job. So this is right around Unzipped, right? Mm-hmm. This is right around when you became my hero.
Okay.
So I'm on this show and I'm on the set and they were shooting on these big broadcast cameras, right? And
yes,
there's this camera operator, is this old guy, and he's got a cigarette hanging out of his mouth. And I went up to him and I said, hey, can I hold the camera? Like, can I get back there? You know, because I was just dying to see what it felt like to hold that camera in my hands. And he said, why don't you stick to wearing your bikini?
No.
Yeah. But you know what, Isaac? I looked really good in a bikini.
Well, lucky but you. This is incredible.
What I said to him was, well, why can't I hold the camera and wear my bikini?
And wear
my
bikini. You know? Good for you, sister. Yeah.
But what it was the introduction to me of, you know, that multi-hyphenate that we come against. And also a good example of the patriarchy, because at the time I didn't know any female directors, right? It was something boys did. It was a man thing, you know?
Right.
And, you know,
except for like, you know, Ida Lupino or something, or like
right,
Lee
but
Grant.
Like people that I knew, every director that I was coming in contact with, you know, it was very rare.
Very rare.
Yeah.
One in a million.
And that's just the patriarchy at work. Great. You know, so I am, if nothing else, I know how to play, you know, I know how to figure out in a room almost to like a brain is broken ADHD level, what my place is,
right,
what the tone
right,
is,
right,
when
right,
I should
right,
speak, when right, I should
right,
not,
right.
You know.
Right.
And so I deferred in that moment, as, by the way, you know, women do. And probably that's the only reason I've had the career I've had, is because I know how to follow those cues, and never really considered it again, because I thought that's what boys do. So here's how I can express myself, which is in front of the camera, right? So when she said that to me, I said, well, you know, girls don't do that. And she said, that's not true anymore.
It's a brain explosion.
It was a brain explosion. And I said, well, I don't have to think about it. I mean, of course I know how to do that, you know, but I'd figured out all these ways to kind of, not actually direct, but kind of guide the blocking, kind of guide the writing, guide the producing from the actor's perspective through asking smart questions and kind of getting the result that I wanted. Mm-hmm. And so when she called me on this, I said, I got to think about it. My husband came home that night. He actually landed from Hawaii that night. And I said, I have to talk to you. I said, I think I'm a director. And he said, thank God, I've been waiting for you to say this. And he takes out, this is our life's blood, is these yellow pads. He takes out a yellow pad and he writes at the top of the yellow pad the word curriculum. And he goes, we're going to educate you, because the worst thing to do here is to just start having you say I'm a director. So no, we're going to need a couple of years where we educate you and we do this right. And we started writing this curriculum, and he immediately started ordering all these books about directing. And he said, you're going to have to assign yourself mentors. You're going to have to fight for this. This is going to be hardest thing you've ever done. And honestly, it was humbling. I mean, I keep saying I had to just eat shit sandwich after shit sandwich, you know,
just
humbling
to get, like,
myself.
A job. Right.
Not even a job, just to get a mentor was, you know, I am coming to you hat in hand. I need your help. This is something I know I'm going to be good at, but I'm going to need your guidance. And I assigned myself essentially professors and started a post-grad program of my own design and really did truly follow through on that. And it was exhausting and embarrassing. And then I assigned myself the task of writing a short film a week. And most of them were just awful and I would never show anybody, but there were a couple that were pretty good, especially as time went on. And then one of them, I sent it to Neil, you know, and I said, I think this has something. And he said, all right, let's shoot it. And we shot it. We shot it in 6 hours. And I premiered it at the Sundance Film Festival. It got into Sundance. So that was so validating, you know, that I had come from just an actress in a bikini to, no, I'm determined to do this right, to, okay, I did it. I paid for the short, and now we got into Sundance. And then I started getting hired as a director, and it's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is not that the genius isn't there.
Right.
You know, the genius is there, but you need an advocate. And that's what I find so rewarding. You know, I started this women's directing program at the Hallmark Channel because I had such an impossible time getting people to advocate for me. That I realized that now I had the access as a working director who knew a lot of people with this network that makes 100 movies a year. And here I am now advocating for these women. So if it unzipped you with the fashion design, that was the meat in the sandwich.
Yes.
I know I'm good at directing. I know I have an ear and an eye for writing. I know I have these things. And yet I have no agent right now.
Right.
I'm completely unemployed. I got nothing going on. It's like, wow. I'm in this period of time where I really believe in the book and I can't get anyone to read it.
I see. You know what I mean? See. Yes, I do. So, I do. Except you do have a really cute husband. I mean, he's cute. Not only is he... And you look great. Okay, and you look... So there are two things that are really smart.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back. Plus, no payments for 90 days. And take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
You are devoted to dogs. Did you grow up with dogs? How did that happen? Tell me about that.
Oh my God. It's the dog thing. I go a little cuckoo bananas with the dog rescue.
Oh, honey, are you kidding? I mean, I try. I want to advocate more and more and more. That's all I care about. I mean it.
I was inappropriate this weekend, Isaac.
Were you?
I was at a puppy party. It was a five-year-old's birthday party. And by the way, her mother's amazing. She's a good friend of mine. But I guess they throw these puppy parties in LA where somebody brings 10 puppies and all the kids are in a cage just cuddling with the puppies, which is so good for the dogs. And, you know, it's just amazing. But I went up. My first question, where are these dogs from? Excuse me, where are these dogs from? You know,
good for you.
And the woman was like, well, you know, we're holding on to them, but they are for sale. And I immediately like kind of couldn't breathe and walked away. And then one of the, I think it was somebody's nanny was talking to.
Were they bred dogs or were they rescues? Oh, they were bred dogs. Right.
For sale.
Well, I'd, honestly, that's a whole category of dog that I can't even acknowledge or something. That's my problem.
No, exactly. I know. Because by the way, I'm sure they're amazing. And I also hate judging people, but then I
know
in my
Me
secret
too.
Whisper
Me
of
too.
A self, I do. So anyway, I was inappropriate with this woman. And I said, well, you know, if you just get, she said, I really want a dachshund. I said, if you give me 3 months, I'll find you a rescue dachshund.
In a second.
Just, I said, just give me a second. She said, but this one's just so cute. And my husband was like, why don't we, go get some lemonade, honey. You know, I go a little cuckoo. So
me
I was
too.
Great. I'm grateful for him. He sort of steered me away from her because I don't want to start a fight with somebody who just is loving on a dog. You know.
Do you have dogs?
Right now, I just have one.
Just have one. Okay. Right.
Yeah, her name is Alma. She's my reward because what I've done for a million years is I get the dogs that no one wants and then they bite people and me and then I have to fight to keep them alive. And so what I say is that Alma is like my reward. She's easy. And I've got two little kids right now, so I need a non-aggressive dog.
Yes.
So she's just a cuddle bug.
By the way, you notice I asked you about your dog before I asked about your children or your husband, right? I'm serious.
First, again, it was handsome husband.
Right, handsome.
And
right,
then
it's
it
true.
Was dog.
Okay, it was a reference. But in terms of like how motherhood and wifehood or something has changed your perspective or changed your life as an actor and a producer and a writer, etc. Tell me a little bit about that.
You know what's interesting is like I've been thinking a lot recently about ageism because my sister's 50 and I feel like my colleagues are more at the top of our game than we've ever been. And yet I see this draw of these young, early 20s, sparkly, just out of college women. And I just think it's so interesting. My life experience, being with my husband for 20 years, having these kids, my ability to communicate, my understanding of the world, you know, is so much heads and shoulders above what it was when I was 23, 24. But when I was 23, 24, every door opened to me when I was young. And now I see them in an interesting way kind of closing. And I think it's society's draw towards youth. But the truth is, I've never been better at what I do. And I just find that fascinating, you know?
Yes.
So I don't know if that answers your question.
It does a little bit. You know, I was talking to Alyssa Milano for a podcast about a week ago. And she was saying, you know, Isaac, like, I don't want to be one of those grasping cuckoo actresses who is just constantly doing work on their face, thinking we don't know, thinking we can't Google them, you know, so that maybe they'll still be like close to an ingenue, if not an ingenue, or maybe the young mom or something. She was like, I don't want to do that. I just don't want to do that. And I'm not exactly sure what she's going to do, but like, do you think about this? Like, what do you think you're going to do? What do you think you're going to do?
I think I'm going to be an actor forever. And I think the parts are only going to get more interesting, but they're going to get fewer and further between. Mm-hmm. Right. The good news is I'm a really reliable hire. Like I'm a solid choice.
Right.
Every job I get, I nail it and it's great. But I am finding as I get older, those opportunities are just getting fewer, you know, which is interesting. And consequently, I am writing, I'm directing, I'm producing. And my hope is that that diversification can keep me employed until, you know, I do have this fantasy about like me naked in a hot tub in my mid-60s smoking and just with a bunch of women just doing tarot cards. Like that's what I want. That's the goal, you know? And I just need
that,
to...
how did a nice East Coast girl get such cuckoo sort of West Coast aspirations for her
life? Well, I've been in LA, you know, for a long time. What do we want to say when we're staring up at the night sky with our boobs hanging out? Like, who do we want to be?
And just a little ayahuasca, just a little ayahuasca.
Like a micro dose. But I want to be present. I want to feel it all, you know?
Hilarious.
And I'm looking forward to being her and seeing where I am now, you know, through her lens and saying, what a time I had. And remember when I couldn't get arrested and then my agent dropped me. But then that was the year before such and such happened.
Right.
Right. Like I always say, it's not a 6-year career. It's a 60-year career.
Oh, yes, it is.
I can't wait to meet her.
So wait, speaking of your old age, this is a question I ask everybody and it's about your obituary. Do you know what you want your life to have meant? Like what is your life supposed to mean in your obituary? And let's assume the picture is really good. Let's assume the picture they pick is really, really good.
I better be in a bikini. I'd like to borrow a phrase from the first line of my husband's wedding vows to me, which was, "Today I'm marrying the best kind of crazy person." I would like that to be included in my obituary because that's the thing. I like a full, colorful life. I like the highs and the lows, you know, and representing my failures in my obituary is important to me because that's where my strength has grown, you know? And so there's definitely that, but then there's something else that is really important to me, which is advocating for women. This is something that I want to be remembered for because I'm doing it literally all day, every day right now. In this women's directing program at Hallmark, I think is just the beginning. We need advocacy from our fellow women, you know? And also, by the way, like we would be nowhere without middle-aged white men as well. But, you know, I want to be the person who pulled people up or across or just, you know, right. The female bond that I have with my peers right now means so much to me. And being able to open up doors for people less experienced than me is fulfilling me more than any of the work I've ever done.
Wow.
I want that to be in the obituary.
That can be as well. It's a long obituary. Okay. I have a feeling it's a full page. With a tracer on the front page. I'm so serious. I'm not kidding. That's going to be my feeling. But now finally, what would you like to promote on this podcast? Anything?
You know what I'd like to promote?
Yeah.
I'm wildly available for hire.
Well, that is amazing. I thought you were going to say like such and such a dog rescue or like such and such a women's advocacy.
I thought you meant movie do I have?
Well, I was going to say that too. No, usually that's what people promote. Totally, totally.
If anybody would like to make an offer for a job, you know, you can just email me.
That is chic. That is really chic. I like that.
But yes, of course. So advocacy wise, the Make Her Mark Women's Directing Program at Hallmark. Mm-hmm. I'm very proud of that. I'd love for people to know about that. I raise money for the Alzheimer's Association. My mother passed away from Alzheimer's. We throw a gigantic dance party every fall and we raise money, and we've raised $1.2 million for their research grant program at the Alzheimer's Association. Super proud of that. And then Best Friends, Dog Sanctuary.
Yay! It's all about dogs for me.
Yeah, that's the thesis.
People don't realize. They think it's yoga or they think it's whatever. It's not. It's meditation. No, it's dogs.
Dogs.
Well, now that we're best friends, Ashley, seriously, call me constantly. I love you. I didn't even know I loved you. Well, I knew I loved you, but now I love.
It's really intense. It's really intense to hang out with Isaac.
What sign are you? What's your
Scorpio.
Birth sign? Oh, nice. That's
but
a good
I'm
one.
I'm super kind. Like, I don't have that kind of backstabby thing about me.
No. Some of my favorite people are Scorpio. Are you kidding? I'm like this with several Scorpios.
Really?
One of my best friends in the world is a Scorpio. Myra Kalman,
really?
Scorpio.
Really? Yes. Oh, that means. What are you?
I'm a Libra, darling.
Balancha. My sister. Yeah, I get it. All right. Well, you're amazing. This has been incredible.
Thank you.
I'm so happy.
Well, who knew that Ashley Williams and I are best friends? I didn't even know that, but that's just the fact, right? We found that out by the end of that hour-long chat. And I feel so fulfilled. I love that someone would come on to the podcast and be so vulnerable about, you know, for one thing, not being employed. Like, that is really, really so inspiring to me, you know? And one of the things that really resonated with me was when she said that her life's dream is to be a creative person who ends up supporting themselves in that capacity. Like, that is where we completely see eye to eye. You know, that's sort of also my life's dream. Anyway, thank you so much for tuning in. I'm really glad you got a chance to hear that talk because it was amazing. And now we're best friends. Darlings, if you enjoyed this episode, do me a favor and tell someone, tell a friend, tell your mother, tell your cousin, tell everyone you know, okay? And be sure to rate the show. I love rating stuff. Go on and rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts so more people can hear about it. It makes such a gigantic difference, and like, it takes a second. So go on and do it. And if you want more fun content, videos and posts of all kinds, follow the show on Instagram and TikTok at Hello Isaac Podcast. And by the way, check me out on Instagram and TikTok at I Am Isaac Mizrahi. This is Isaac Mizrahi. Thank you. I love you. And I never thought I'd say this, but goodbye, Isaac. Hello Isaac is produced by Imagine Audio, Awfully Nice, and I Am Entertainment for iHeartMedia. The series is hosted by me, Isaac Mizrahi. Hello Isaac is produced by Robin Gelfenbein. The senior producers are Jesse Burton and John Asante. It is executive produced by Ron Howard, Brian Grazer, Cara Welker, and Nathan Clokey at Imagine Audio. Production management from Katie Hodges. Sound design and mixing by Cedric Wilson. Original music composed by Ben Walzer. A special thanks to Neil Phelps and Sarah Katanak at IM Entertainment.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
This is Raquel Willis from Queer Chronicles. Right now, there are close to 500 anti-LGBTQ plus bills in state legislatures across the country. Lambda Legal is leading the charge against these hateful bills that target mostly trans and non-binary people. You can fight discrimination and help write the next chapter of Lambda Legal history. To learn more about their open cases and to donate, visit lambdalegal.org. That's lambdalegal.org.